We pray constantly for ourselves and for others. And the church is praying for us, that God might have mercy on us sinners. What does this constant begging of God's mercy on us sinners mean? Haven't we been forgiven? Is it just to sort of reassure ourselves that we have been? What's all this repetitious plea for mercy? I am not now referring to those who are estranged from God. It is clear enough. God's mercy for them is the grace of repentance, to be reconciled with God. But I'm speaking of us. In every Hail Mary, don't we pray for us sinners? What do we mean? What we mean is that an essential part of God's mercy is that peace which is the tranquility subjectively experienced, which comes from order objectively when a soul is in the friendship of God. Let me go over this once more, I hope, with more clarity. Begging for God's mercy always means, first and fundamentally, asking that those who are somehow estranged from God or positively in the state of sin obtain from Him the gift to see their wrongdoing, repent, and be reconciled. But, being reconciled with God is not enough. What do I mean it's not enough? Because I am now in God's friendship, actually, really, or as I said, objectively, in itself is no assurance that I experience the fact that I realize that I am in God's friendship. Because the more I look at my past, or without doing that, just looking into my soul and seeing the weakness and the evil tendencies I've got, I am horrified. And frankly, if you're like me, I'm terrified. I've got a fallen human nature. I know what sins this nature is capable of. For me to be serene and tranquil, not anxious, not worried, not concerned, not despondent, in a word, to be at peace, it's not enough for me to know with my mind believing God is merciful. Consequently, I call peace the experience of God's mercy. It's the realization, the awareness, the consciousness, the being sure that God is with me and I am with Him. And for that, as we so well know, we must constantly pray, because there is one thing to which we are all so awfully subject. It is the opposite of peace. Now, the more we strive after perfection, the more the ideals of the spiritual life are presented to us and we reflect on them, the more dreadful seems the chasm between me and the Christ that I'm supposed to become like. And for me to not only be doing what I should be doing, but experience the joy of God's being pleased with me. Oh, for that I need grace, especially this priceless grace of peace. No books will do it, no sermons, no homilies, nothing but sheer grace. We've got too many things to worry about, too many things to make us anxious, too many that if we allowed ourselves to make us despair, hence the mandate of the Savior to be at peace, and the consolation we have in knowing that the church, militant, mind you, on earth, is praying, even while we are militant in struggling against our passions, against the bad example around us and against the evil spirit, even while we are militant, that we are at peace. There is, moreover, not only the church's constant prayer in and outside of the liturgy, because every Hail Mary is, as I've just described it, a prayer for interior peace. Every time we pray collectively, pray for us sinners, that we might not only be forgiven, but experience God's forgiveness. But beyond that, there is the efficacious treasury of Christ's merits. And one of the most important things that this treasury is intended to gain for us is God's mercy twice over, once in being forgiven, and once again in knowing that we are forgiven. Think for a moment of how much suffering there is in the Christian world, in hospitals, in asylums, in war-torn countries, in broken homes, in broken hearts, in communist-held territories, sufferings that only God fully understands. All of these merits are part of the church's treasury on which we draw to be assured that God is indeed merciful. By way of epilogue, though not only, I would like to say something about engaging the apostolate of peace. I dare say none of us doubts that it is a worthy apostolate. It is, in fact, highly recommended to us by Christ as one of the Beatitudes. If we are going to be peacemakers, and not only notice and reconciling people, either with God, as sinners, though that too, or reconciling people between themselves, that too, but if we are going to be peacemakers in this profound sense of assisting people to experience God's peace, the first condition is that we ourselves are at peace. This of all possessions, no one gives that he does not have. It means that I correspond in my own life with the graces of peace that God is giving me, that I learn to let go, that Christ does not want me to lack peace. Do we hear that? And that when I am not at peace, Christ wants me to overcome the state of mind in which I am. Christ does not want us to be worried or anxious. Condition one, then, I am at peace. And you have to work at it. Secondly, telling people in so many ways, beginning with those that are nearest and dearest to us, telling them they have a right to be at peace. Right, do I say? They have an order from Christ. Anxiety is surely permitted by God, but He wants us not to give in to it. Thirdly, in working in this apostolate of peace, we have to cultivate the habit of listening to people who have troubles. What I call cultivating not just a listening ear, but what is more important, a listening heart. Christ wants us to be channels of peace. By allowing people, I don't mean to pour all their troubles into our souls, especially when their troubles would then, well, become our troubles. But people do want to have someone with whom they can, betimes, share what is on their minds. Finally, be sure never to leave anyone who happens to be in trial without telling that person, with James, of all the passages in the New Testament, and there are many worth quoting, I know of few that are more practical. It's James, chapter 5, of all verses, 13. If any one of you is in trouble, he should pray. Prayer is the sovereign remedy for trial. It is also the talisman of peace. It means, of course, that we ourselves have learned that when we are in trouble, we instinctively and, I should add, immediately pray. It may be just the invocation of the holy name, but immediately we betake ourselves to God, who has evidently permitted the trial, and we ask Him to let us see why He wants us to bear the trial, if it is something we must carry, or to let go of the worry if it is not worth being anxious about. And as we have learned from our own experience, that every time and how many times, depending on how your minds operate, every time the mind begins to become anxious or worried, right away to breathe a prayer and to discover that this grace of peace is ready at hand. But with this, I close. You see, this grace of peace, like all graces, is there for the asking, but it must be asked for. Let's then ask our Savior, the Prince of Peace, to teach us what He meant when He said that He came to give that kind of peace which the world cannot give. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.